Operation Saturation. Praise the Lord, in the last 3 weeks, we've got almost 1,000 tracts handed out in the last 3 weeks. We've had good groups this last few weeks, so praise the Lord for that. And Brother Grissom and I had some good visits yesterday, so praise the Lord. But that's every Saturday. Hope you'll come and go with us. Then instead of a three-day Bible school this year, and we're trying to put this in, we're going to have a family festival night. We did this last year for one night, but we're going to do it Friday night and Saturday since we have to set everything up for the one night. But we're going to do it Friday night and Saturday, and we'll have rent the dunk booth, the bounce house, the slide. We'll have the booze, and this time we'll have a salvation booth this year. I think we had 13 saved last year, and so hopefully we can have both. But we'll have an organizational meeting. We'll start really working towards that, but that'll be Friday night and Saturday afternoon, July 25th and 26th. Looking forward to that. Then YouthCon, the kids go to YouthCon July 29th through August 1st. And then there's a sportsman clinic for the men, if you'd like to go and shoot some guns at targets. That will be Saturday, August 2nd. Then back to school Sunday, can't believe it. Back to school is only a month away. That'll be August 17th. That's when all of them will get promoted to different classes. But the only way you can promote out of this class is go to heaven. We don't want you to do that, okay? So don't forget that. And then... And we do need several to pray for. Like I said, Brother Adam, he's a security supervisor. Somebody didn't show up today, so he had to go in this morning. The Lindholms are on their way back. Brother Heston had to go to the emergency room. Todd had an incident this morning. Brian's mom's in the hospital. So I hope you'll remember these in prayer. The Wells certainly need your prayers. And the Myers and the Smiths and the Spores also. Sister Spore, they went through the earthquake, and now she's got breast cancer. But he said if they hadn't have been in New Zealand and had that, they would have never caught this other cancer. So it's amazing. God turns bad into good. Amen. So pray for the Spores, Sister Spore, in a special way that they can get that taken care of. And also my friend Brother Stowe went to the hospital, and his diabetes is getting worse, but they think he might have some cancer. And so please pray for Brother Stowe. He's a dear friend, and just pray for him that the Lord, and they said they can't get him in for several months. And is like, and they said, the doctor said, you need to go now. But that's up to the Lord. So let's just remember these in prayer. Thank you so much for coming. Looking forward to what the Lord has for us. Good to have Julie Houston, and good to see you. And I said her ears were burning. I talked about her this week, and the Lord knows what's in our bedchamber, and she comes and faces me, and oh no. But anyway, it's good to have you. So, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and good to have Brother Moyer. Good to have you, Sister Moyer. I know she's in a lot of pain too, so just let's remember these in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you, and God, we ask that you meet with us this morning. God, we are a needy people. And God, you know all the situations. God, you know even the unspokens that people raise their hand about and no one else knows, but God, you know. And God, I pray for the families that need your intervention. I pray for the ones, the physical needs this morning, but I really pray for the spiritual needs this morning and the hearts and the lives of your people that are here this morning, dear Father. Pray that you might use your word to speak to their hearts. God, I pray for those that aren't going to be here this morning. God, those that we knocked on the doors yesterday that I know are not saved. They didn't give a clear presentation on how they would know for sure that they would go to heaven. God, I pray that they might continue to search for you and seek you. And God, I pray for the flyers and the tracts that were handed out on each of those doors. God, that you might bless that. And God, that you might help people come to know you as their personal Savior. Bless our day, dear Father, please. Thank you for Brother Moyer's faithfulness. Pray for him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to our adult Bible class, Sunday school. And we are in the little book of Jude, 25 verses total in Jude. And I think we've only made a month or two out of it. We maybe might a couple more, I'm not sure. But Anyway, we'll get started here this morning. Before we do start, though, I'd like to have a few trivia questions to get my mind in gear. You know, sometimes I have to have a different start to get started. And I don't know how that works, but that's the way my mind works sometimes. Okay, so this morning we are taking trivia events out of the book of Genesis. So I'll give you a little bit, you can clue in. We're talking about Genesis, okay, in the book of Genesis. Okay, this is an interesting question. It says, when does the story of the Tower of Babel take place? Before the story of Noah? After the story of Noah, but before the story of Abraham? Or after the story of Abraham, but before the story of Joseph? So when did it occur? I know Brother Martin, the scholar that he is, has that, I know. And you all read your Bible this week. And I'd started with my new Bible. I like this Bible. It's been a good Bible to me. And it's a Rock of Ages Bible. There's Brother Houston's name in it. Yeah, so I like the Bible and everything. But anyway, I started in Genesis, so I've been reading through Genesis this last week, so I know a little bit, or I kind of remember now. But actually, this question, when I first read it, I missed it. So anyway, so if you miss it, it's no big deal. We'll tell you. Okay, was it before the story of Noah? After the story of Noah, but before the story of Abraham? That sound familiar? Okay, you think that's it? B. Okay, maybe that's the way I ought to do it. How many of you think it's B? All right, okay. That way you don't have to answer. Hey, that's a good idea. Okay, so let's try the next one. Noah's ark came to rest on the mount upon the Mount of Ararat during this time. We're looking at a time period. When did it happen? After the 40 days and 40 nights of the rain, after the 150 days, and C is in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month, D in the 10th month. Which one do you think it is? A? How many think it's A? Okay, all right. How many think it's, okay, what does somebody think it is? A, B, C, or D? How many think it's B, after 150 days? You think that? All right, Brother Vance. Okay, how many of you think it's C, in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month? Okay, all right, yeah, okay. And in the last one, in the 10th month. An interesting thing, if you turn in your Bibles to Genesis 8, you'll find out this is what it says. C is the correct answer. It says in Genesis 8, the water abated after 150 days. That's the first part of it. And so then in verse 4 says, the ark rested on the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the Mount of Ararat. So that's your answer in C. And then in verse 8, all of this, all that's 4, 5, and 4, or 3, 4, and 5. And then 8, or 8, 5 says, at the top of the mount where they were seen in the 10th month. So that all of those are pretty close in the same period of time during that time. But they were in that ark for a while, you know. So they had all the provisions in there for all the animals, plus the people. They all had to eat and everything. The ark must be a tremendous place. People that have gone and seen the one is in Kentucky, or where is it at? Anyway, it says it's quite amazing. But God takes care of us. That's amazing. God provides. He provided for the animals. He provided for man all during that time. One more trivia question here this morning. In Genesis 11:31, tells of Abram leaving the Ur of the Chaldees, who traveled with him. Who traveled with him? A says no one. B, his nephew Lot. C, his nephew Lot and his wife Sarai. And D says nephew Lot, his wife, and his father Terah. You say C? You say C? B?
C?
Okay, let's look and see what happened. Okay, the answer is D. His wife Lot, his wife, and his father. They all traveled. We can read that in Genesis chapter 11, verse 31. Turn over there real quick. Genesis 11, 31. Let's see, 11:31 says, and Terah took Abraham his son and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from the Ur of the Chaldees to go to the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelled there. So yeah, all of them went. That's before his father died in the land there. But anyway, there's a few trivia questions. That way, see, you got to be wrong and weren't embarrassed. So anyway, so we'll look at a few more next week. Let's look back in our lesson today in the book of Jude. And we talked about last week, we talked about Cain and Balaam and Kor. We talked about Kor a little bit last week. And the next part we're getting into is verse 14. An interesting part, because this is one of the two verses in the scripture here that when I go to my concordances or my people I'm looking at, many of them skipped it. Matter of fact, my Rock of Ages Bible, I will look down here for verse 14. Guess what? There was no 14. There was no 15. A lot of people just skip over this part. One of the reasons why is it talks about here, Enoch also, the seventh from Abraham, prophesied of these things. Of what things? Well, he was talking about apostasy that was going on, that he talked about it, and it says that a lot of people say that's so far back. Matter of fact, the books weren't even known, and how this comes back to you, I had to go a little deeper and do some searching, and found in Barnes' notes, Albert Barnes was pretty deep. When I want to drown, I go to Barnes. And that's where, you know, there's so much reading and stuff there that it's just more than I can comprehend. So, but anyway, I like to go there and because I knew if anybody knew anything, he would know. So he says that this prophecy of Enoch was in the book of Enoch, and it was found in the Jewish Antiquia, in their Antiquia books, which is a lot of times it's books that they had. Some of it was true, some of it was not. And this particular part, I think, must have been true because God put it in his word. So I know it's true. And so we see what his prophecy was here in the next part of this verse. It says, Enoch also, the seventh after from Adam. And he was a long time ago. I mean, this is before the flood. They got this prophecy. And in a minute, you'll probably see why. A prophecy of these things, saying, behold, this was a prophecy. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among... Well, my eyes switched again. ungodly, among them all their ungodly deeds, which they were ungodly committed, and of all their speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers and complainers. Jude is going on explaining who these people were. But these people that he's really prophesying about are the people that God judged the world for when Noah was on the sea. He tells us in the book of Luke. I think if you turn to the book of Luke, the Lord teaches about this. And the one thing about Enoch, he was of all of the ancient men in those times, he lived the least amount of time. He only lived 360 years, short period of time. There's a reason why he walked with God. He walked with God. So it doesn't surprise me at all that God told him what was going to happen in the future and be able to make this prophecy. It says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, I'll get there in a minute. Luke 17, verse 26. I did tell you this was a new Bible, right? Pages are stick together, all these things. I try to go get through it and get them moving a little faster, but they don't. Anyway, Luke 17:26, and it says, "As it was in the day of Noah, so shall it be also of the days of the Son of Man. They shall be eating and drinking and marrying wives, and were given in marriage until the day of Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all." So he's telling them this is what it was like. And now we have Jude here. He's preaching and telling them about the apostate time here, that people are turning away from the faith. And again, just to remind you what we said, apostasy is the abandonment of one's profession and departure from one's faith. There's people that believe, and then all of a sudden, no, I really don't believe that. And they've turned their lives over. And when they did turn their lives away from God, the devil comes in and he takes a control of the situation there. And that's the reason why in verse 15, he says in Jude, he says to execute judgment upon all the and to convince all of their ungodly amount among them, and all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers and complainers and walkers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. So they're men that are working to bring the sin and corruption and everything into the world. And the thing is here in Jude, it's not only said in Jude, but it's also in 2 Peter. In 2 Peter, he has a little bit to say about this also. And he says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, it's but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of the uncleanness and despise government, presumptuously are they self-willed. They are not afraid of speaking evil of dignities. We ever see that today? All the time. We just see it more and more of these things. And this is what Jude is telling them. We're going to be looking for these things in the days of Noah. That's what it was. The Lord even spoke that there in Luke chapter 17 and told us these things are going to take place before the Son of Man cometh. So There's one way we can know the Lord's coming quick. We look around us and see the things that are happening in the world today. And so that's one verse, and we know that there's other places here in the Word of God that tells us. Another verse, I should have stayed there in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll be looking at in just a little bit more too. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 2 says that many be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles, our Lord and Savior. That's the right verse. Yep, our Savior. Knowing first. That there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And for this, they willingly are ignorant By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standeth out of the waters and in the waters. So he talked about there. The scoffers are going to be there. We have the scoffers today. It doesn't take very long to go out on visitation and knock on a few doors before you find scoffers. Or someone's going to say, "Oh, I've heard that all my life. I don't think it's going to happen." Just because you heard it all your life, you have to realize your life is short. Our life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. In God's view, He sees it all. So it's not short. From the things we can see in our short lives, can hardly even be compared to what God sees and knows. And so there are those that are scoffers. We can see them in the day in which we live. And so it tells us that in verse 16, these are murmurers, complainers. We have that today all around us. People are murmuring and complaining about things. And we just need to realize, we just need to cast all of our cares upon him, because he cares for us. He's going to take care of those things. And it says, walking after their own lust and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's person in administration. Because of their advantage, they try to take advantage with their words and different things like that. We have it all around us today. So we need to know, and this is what Jude's coming down to in the next few verses, where he says, now it's our duty to fight for God. Like he said back here in the first few verses, he said in verse 3, it says, Beloved, When I gave diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We need to contend for the faith. And that's what he's going to tell us here in these last few verses of the book of Jude here. He says in verse 17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodliness. People want to do it their way. And when we do that, that's ungodly. God wants us to do things by the book. He wants us to be able to say, thus saith the Lord. This is why I do things. It's because this is what God has given me the direction to do. And we have it in his word. And so he tells them here, he said, how that there should be mockers who should walk after their own lust. These be they who separate themselves sensually, having not the Spirit. They separate. We're not talking about separating ourselves from the world here. They're separating themselves from Christianity. They're separating themselves. They're apostate. They want to get as far away from Christianity as they can. And so that's what he's separating themselves, having not the Spirit. They don't have the Spirit of God. They don't have it. And what we need to do, he's going to tell us here. He's in verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith. Faith is so important. We learn from the book of Hebrews, all those saints that they talked about there in Hebrews chapter 11. They did it by faith. Faith. Where we put our faith is very important. We need to realize there's people today that are going to church or in churches today that are sitting there and they believe in their baptism. I know I've accepted Christ, but I'm baptized. I'm sealed. Now I'm baptized. That's wrong. You got to have your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. He's the one. And so this is talking about that holy faith. That's the holy faith, is the Lord Jesus Christ. I like Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the faith, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Man, that's the holy faith. The faith of the Son of God who gave Himself for us. He's the one that went to the cross of Calvary, shed His precious blood, and died for our sins, and rose again the third day. And so it's that holy faith that we need to work on and realize by faith. And our faith is tested every day. We have our faith tested. We may not realize it sometimes because we've got things down in patterns and things like this. But God checks our faith out. How faithful are you? Well, how faithful are you going to be today to do the things you want that I want you to do? How faithful are you to come to me and praise Him for what He's done for me today? This is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Faith. I got faith that He's going to take care of today. Now, there's some people today that, as we've heard the pastor say, some people have gone to the hospital. Others are in the hospital. All kinds of things happen. But where's your faith? Where's your faith? And this is what Jude's emphasizing here in this part. And as I said, we just got finished going through the book of Hebrews, and there's a lot of things in there that he shows us where the perfect faith is. The holy faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that we can go boldly before the throne of grace in the hour and time of our needs. He's the one that can take care of us. He is the great high priest, and so we have Him. And when we turn to Hebrews 11, all of those people that suffered through all those things. And it says here in Hebrews chapter 11 that they went through it all and didn't see the promise. They went through it not seeing. They were looking for that city God had prepared. And they lived their lives out without ever seeing it. By faith, they believed. They believed, and we need to live our lives like that. We need to realize that God has provided. Chapter 11, or Hebrews chapter 11, verse 40 says, God, having proved some better things for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. In other words, he's talking there that these people didn't see the end of the of what they were looking for, but they knew it was there, and God provided. God provided. So Jude here, in his challenge here to those that have been born again, the Christians that he's writing to, telling them to continually fight for the faith that they have, to be willing to do that. And he's going to tell us a little bit more here how. He said, back up and read that verse 20. It says, but ye being building up yourselves in your most holy faith. How do we do it? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying with God's help. He's talking about it's important. We want to build up our faith. We pray and we ask God what it is that he wants us to do. And then we step out and do it and do what he has for us, what he's led us to do in those things. And so we need to pray in the Holy Ghost. Verse 21 says, keeping yourself in the love of God, remembering that God does love us. You know, there's sometimes we go in our lives and maybe sin comes in and say, matter of fact, David did it. And he said, I don't know how you can love me. I don't understand it, God, but I know you do. And he confessed his sins. And that when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is to keep yourself in the love of God. Let yourself realize and understand God loves us, but he doesn't love just us. He loves the whole world. When Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary, he died for everyone. No one's going to stand before God and said blame him for not saving them, because he did. All they had to do was accept him. All we have to do is accept. And so keeping ourselves in the love of God. And the next part of that says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. One day he's coming again. We need to be looking for him. One day I know that the Bible tells us the dead in Christ is going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up to ever be with the Lord. And so we need to look for that. Look for the mercy that he shows us. I'm so thankful that God is merciful to us. I know when I pray, I thank the Lord for his blessings, his mercy, his grace, because he's that kind of God. He loves us and he's merciful for us. And he shows us his mercy. You know, mercy is God for giving us for things we have done and being merciful to us and showing us his mercy. Grace is God giving us something we don't deserve. That's what I like, that grace. I like to illustrate it a lot of times is grace is something added on. I mean, I'm thankful that I got a jacket today. And I got a little add-on over here. I put it on. It's my flag. Let's see. It's an American flag and a Jewish flag. That's added on. That's something more to it. And that's what God does to us when he shows us his grace. He gives us mercy, and we look for his mercy, and he's merciful to us. But he goes beyond that and shows us grace. Without grace, it's impossible to be saved. Without grace, the Bible tells us here in the book of Ephesians, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's God's amazing grace. And so Jude's telling these Christians, he wants them to be true in the fight. And if you're going to fight these things, you must look at it. Look at the love that God has for us, the mercy he gives us, he shows us. And then in verse 22, he says, have some and of some have compassion, making a difference. I'm going to stop there. Next week, we'll finish up on that last few verses in the book of Jude, because there's a lot in that little portion here. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we are thankful that we serve a great God that loves us and cares for us. Lord, I'm so thankful you look beyond all my faults and you saw my need. Father, I'm thankful that we have a great God that loves us so much and is merciful to us. Lord, we didn't deserve to be born in America, but yet, Lord, we have the freedoms that you've given us. Father, help us to use those freedoms to honor, to glorify you. Lord, to be a shining light in the darkness of this day. So, Father, I pray that you be with each one of us this morning. I ask that you be with our pastor as he comes and he brings the message. Lord, I pray that you hide him behind the cross of Calvary. Lord, I pray that his words come out, we hear you. And Father, I pray that you would just give us guidance and direction in our life that we're able to stand for you. For Lord, it's a time when we all need to stand. And Lord, look to you for guidance and direction. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We ask it all in thy Son's name, in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. All right, you can get a drink of water.